Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Honor and reverence of the reading, I'll pick up the last two or three verses of chapter number 27, and just look in verse number 42 of chapter 27. We'll pick up there. The Bible said, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they should, But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. The Bible said in verse 44, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped. Watch this. All safe to land. Matter of fact, if you'll remember the past few weeks preaching out of chapter 27, Paul ends up telling them and admonishing them that they should listen to him, then they don't. But you'll find out that Paul says, be of good cheer, sirs, for this night the angel of the Lord has come and talked to him, and he ends up saying that he was going to make it safely to shore, and everybody that was on the boat with him. Now, I want to say this to you. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to make it to the other side, praise God. Amen. We might be on broken pieces. The boat might seem to fly apart every once in a while, but we've got a promise from God. We are going to make it to the other side. Amen. Verse number 1 of chapter 28. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Bible said in verse number 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. The Bible said that there came a viper out of the heat. We know that in studying to be a snake tonight, and that snake bit him. But watch this. It just didn't bite him. It fastened on him. In other words, it just didn't strike at him, but it fastened itself. It latched itself onto Paul. But Paul shook the serpent back off into the fire. I want to preach on this thought for just a little while tonight. I've been bitten, but I ain't quitting. I've been bitten, but I ain't quitting. If you do anything for God, I promise you the devil's going to rise up against you. The first time we're introduced to the devil, we're introduced to him as being a serpent, and he will come against you. He'll try his best to get you out of church, out of the will of God, out of the work of God. He'll try his best to steal your worship for God, but you're going to have to make up your mind, even though he comes against you, I'm not going to quit. Father, I love you. I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, I want to look at this thought tonight for just a few minutes and see what the Lord would give us. We've already made mention of chapter number 27. Matter of fact, for 2 weeks, we've been preaching out of chapter number 27. 27. And Paul, being in the center of God's will, finds himself in Euroclydon, this major storm, this typhoon, for at least 14 days. We know that in chapter number 27. Matter of fact, I was talking to somebody today and I said, Euroclydon came by last night. But anyway, we know that he's been in this storm because of someone else's disobedience. You see, sometimes we'll find ourselves in a storm not because something we've done, but because of something someone else has done, and it causes us to be in the midst of a storm. But whenever you study this out, Paul, and I made mention of this last week, Paul remained faithful during that time. Matter of fact, there's a time that Paul goes silent in this. And you know what? That's really a good thing to do when you're in the storm, because you'll say things that you regret. Not long ago, I had to do something very hard. I had to keep my mouth shut. It was nothing to do with the church. Why? Because I was going to say some things that I didn't need to say. The best thing we can do is bridle our mouth in the storm, because when you're hurting, you'll end up hurting someone else. And Paul has his mouth bridled, but after long absence, Paul stands up and says, hey, look, I've got some things to say. I've heard from God, and this is what he wants me to say to you. Paul ends up saying those things to the men that night, and Paul continues in the service of God. Paul makes it safely to land. They build a fire to warm them up, and Paul goes and gets a bundle of sticks to put on the fire. Let me say something to you tonight. Why did Paul do that? The reason Paul done that is because the fire was going out and there was nobody else doing nothing about it. But those other people that had made it because of Paul's prayers should have been the one putting the sticks on the fire, and the man of God should have been able to set back just a little bit. But it didn't happen that way. So you know what Paul does? Paul continues doing what Paul does. He remains faithful. And now here all of a sudden, he's made it to the other side. He's got dry. He thinks maybe everything's going to calm down. And guess what? Here comes the devil again. Here comes the devil again. Have you ever been like that before? Man, you come through a major storm. You think, man, I've made it to the other side of this storm. Oh, maybe God's just going to let me breathe just a minute right here. And all of a sudden, here comes Satan again. Here comes the devil again. And notice what the Bible said. It fastened on him. I believe the devil was being used by a serpent again right here. The devil had one thing that he wanted to do with the Apostle Paul. He wanted to kill the Apostle of Paul, and that's what he's trying to do. Oh, but old Paul had done been through enough to know that God would, well, amen, that God would be faithful. And you know what Paul did? When Paul was attacked by Satan, Paul didn't sit down and have a conversation with Satan. Did you hear what I just said? A lot of people say, Zeus, preacher, the devil's just staying on my back. Quit giving him a piggyback ride. You know what Paul done? Paul shook off the serpent from the fire whence it came. And can I just say this? I sure am thankful there's coming a day in the book of Revelations after the great white throne judgment that Satan will be bound hand and foot and be cast back into the fire from whence he came. Paul gets up, shakes that serpent off. If Paul would have allowed the serpent to stay on him, the serpent would have killed him. And if you allow the serpent to stay on you, he will destroy you. Paul says, no, God's been too good to me. God's been too faithful to me. God's brought me too far. God's brought me through too many storms. God has never failed me. So I am not going to allow this SERP to destroy what I'm doing for God. Yes, there'll be times that we get bent. Yes, there'll be times that we wonder why Satan is raging against us. There'll be times when it seems like not only Satan, but everybody else is warring against us. And we can sit around and have the mully grubs and have a pity party all we want to. But the best thing we can do, honey, is to shake the serpent back off into the fire and realize God's got a work for us to do. God's got a plan for our life. And with the help of God and by the grace of God, finish the race that God put us in. Paul said, I've been bitten, but I ain't quitting. I'm not going to cause this to make me stop. I've been bitten, but I ain't quitting. Why? Let me give you three things. Number one, you've heard me preach it before if you've been here over 5 years. Number one, I've been bitten, but I ain't quitting. Why? Number one, because of the crowd that's on the way. Because of the crowd that's on the way. You see, when you go back to chapter number 27, now I understand that they've made it in chapter 28. But when you go back to chapter number 27, he makes mention in verse number 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Watch this. He specifically mentions here in the book of Acts, some on broken pieces of the ship and some on boards. You know what he was saying? He was saying this, there's a crowd that was on the way with a bunch of broken things in their life. You see, there's a world out there tonight, and all they know is brokenness. There's young people that all they know is a broken home, a broken marriage. All they know is broken pieces in their life. And you know what we've been doing? We've been knocking on doors. 9 first-time visitors today, I think visitation worked this past week. We've been knocking on doors. We've been inviting. Matter of fact, there was some come in today with broken things in their life. And you know what? If we quit, if we throw in the towel, if we allow the devil to get out of the fight, they may show up one day and say, well, where's Josh at? He's the one that invited me for 2 years. He's the one that said Jesus was everything that I need. Well, I hate to inform you, but he got mad and got out of church. There's a crowd on the way, man. I can't quit. There's a crowd on the way. I can't quit. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? I don't believe that. I know that. I'm telling you, man, there is a crowd. You say, we've already got a crowd. I'll get there in just a minute. Let's look at them out there for a second. You know what the world needs today? I'm telling you what the world needs today. They need Jesus. Let me tell you what society needs today. They need to see Christians stand up for what's right. Amen. Where they need love. No, they need to see Christians stand up for what's right. And when you stand for what's right, you will be labeled. They'll label you talking about Jesus as hate speech. They'll label you taking a stand as a bigot and being arrogant, but hear me and hear me well. I'm telling you what the world needs to see. They need to see consistency at the church house and not a consistent missing, but a consistent of being faithful in your place Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival night, visitation, prayer meeting. They need to know that we believe what we preach. Don't allow the devil to steal your testimony. There's a crowd on the way. Number one, because of the crowd that's on the way. Number two, tonight, I'm not going to quit because of the crowd that's already here. There's a crowd already here. We had a trustees and deacon meeting this evening. Deacons, we got more than one. But Robert's the chief, we found that out, but we got more than one. We had a meeting this evening and was talking about different things. And And one thing that we could all agree on is the growth of our church. Man, God has been good to us. He's been very good to us. Matter of fact, I look back since the first Sunday we was in this building, and if there's been a Sunday without first-time visitors, it's only been one or two. And a lot of times, there's eight or ten, for just like this morning, first-time visitors. And I thank God for them. That's the crowd that's on the way. But there's a crowd that's already here. Paul looked around, and you know what? There was some of those boys sitting around, and not just them, but there was those that was on the island of Melita that had built him a fire. You've heard me talk about those barbarous people in recent days. That don't mean they was mean. It meant that they spoke a different language. Are you go in deep low gap and you'll find some barbarous people. They say it's English. I'm telling you, when we was going to Boston all the time, when we had that church plant up there, Brother Josh, they would say, talk, wouldn't they? Brother Josh went up there with me a lot, and they would just go, talk. I mean, what do you mean, talk? Yeah, just like that, just talk. Why want me to talk? Because you don't talk like we do. And what they were saying, you're a barbarous person. It just simply meant they spoke a different language. And you know what? They was all sitting around the fire. You say, what was they doing around that fire? Let me tell you what they's doing. Here's exactly what they's doing. Paul got them around the fire after they built the fire. And Paul said, hey, boys, let me tell you about something. There's a day I was on the road to Damascus. I was going to go down there and find some Christians and bring them back to have them killed for serving Jesus and claiming Jesus as the Savior. And while I was on my way down there, there's a great light shined out of heaven. And the Holy Ghost of God said, you need to be saved. And he said, God, I believe he was preaching to them. That's what I believe he was doing. And Paul said, wait a minute, I'm losing their attention. The fire's going out. You know what Paul did? Paul put some wood on the fire. Paul put some wood on the fire. Why didn't he allow Satan to destroy him right there? Because there was a crowd that was there. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'll give this to you. I'll give you the last point, and we'll go to choir practice. Well, I said go home. We'll go to choir practice. But the people sitting in this room tonight, you need. And I'm just going to go ahead and say something else that you might not agree with. The man that's standing here preaching tonight, you need. You know what? It's so funny that people will talk about you like a dog, but you let something go wrong in their life, and you're the first one they call. You know, and I want to sometimes, because I'm flesh, Brother Ramsey, sometimes I want to go, I ain't got time for you. What was that you said just 2 weeks ago? What was that you said? So why are you calling me now? I'm just being honest. But let me tell you the reason I don't do that, because of the crowd that's here. Amen. You can tell what we have to do in times like that. We have to shake it off. Paul shook it off. We have to shake it off. There's a crowd that's here. You need them. They need you. You need me. I need you. We can't quit. We can't quit. We can't quit. You say, well, I can. You can. But I want you to hear me. You'll be the loser in the long run. Let me tell you the reason why. Here's the reason why. God's here. God, it has nothing to do with me. God's here. God's meeting with us. God's blessing us. In all honesty, there's no scriptural reason for you to leave Amazing Grace Baptist Church. There is not a scriptural reason. Well, I just don't agree. Well, instead of telling everybody else you don't agree with something and being a coward and walking away, why don't you come talk to the pastor? And you say, did you? I'll just say it again. Instead of being a coward and walking away and running your mouth to somebody else and telling everybody else in the community about what went wrong, just in case anybody's watching, instead of just walking away, why don't you come talk to the preacher? That's matter of fact, you know what that is? That's scriptural. That's scriptural. That's scriptural. They spend time. Brother Heath was on staff with us. He can come back tonight if he wants to. And he'll tell you these times that we've not agreed on everything. And you know what we've done? We sat down and talked about it. And the night that he resigned from his positions to go pastor, scriptural reasons for leaving, to go out into the ministry, you know what we've done? We stood there and cried together and hugged each other's neck. He remained faithful. There's a crowd here that needs you, man. Don't walk away. Don't throw in the towel. Don't let the devil rob you of what God's doing here. There's a crowd that's here. I'm not going to quit. There's a crowd that's come, and I'm not going to quit. But why else did Paul not quit? I believe because there was a crowd that was coming. There's a crowd that was there. But I'll show you this last of all. Because there's a crowd that's waiting. There's a crowd that's waiting. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this right here. I got a grandpa that preached over 50 years. Jacob's great-great-grandpa. Preached over 50 years, pastored churches at the same time. Churches. Years ago, that's what they did, Brother Heath. Your grandpa was probably the same way. Those men of God blazed the trail for us. I was asked the other day if my dress standard was going to stay the same behind the pulpit. I said, what kind of question is that? I mean, what kind of question is that? I'll go a step further. I'm going to get in trouble right here. But as long as I'm the pastor, there'll be a wood pulpit. I believe it's scriptural. I can take you to the Bible, Nehemiah chapter number 8. I believe it's scriptural. Let me tell you the reason. Number one, I'm going to stay with a proper dress behind the pulpit to honor God. I want to be kind. And I just heard somebody preaching about being kind, didn't I? But it's a sad day when you would dress up more to go see a public figure than you would to stand and preach the gospel. Amen, friend. It's a sad day. It's a sad day. I said, what kind of question? That's no question. That's foolishness. I can promise you, if I'm standing behind the sacred desk, I'm going to have a suit and tie on, and 99% of the time, I'm still old-fashioned enough, my shirt's going to be white. You say, are you against colored church? Not tonight. Yeah, I am tonight. I got a white shirt on. But I'm just that way. Look at Brother Heath. He's covering his blue shirt up. I'm just that way. Hey, look, there's a generation that blazed the trail before us. Brother Matt's grandpa back there. You think I'm a hard preacher? They ain't got a clue, do they, Brother Matt? I mean, we get condemned because we've got monitors on the wall. I'm telling you. But they blazed the trail for us, Brother Ramsey. They stayed true to God. They never wobbled on the shaft. Biggest part of them carried a black back Scofield Bible just cause. Didn't have a clue what the notes in it said, but just cause. Are you with me? And they blazed the trail. And can I tell you something? I owe it to that crowd that's waiting on me. I owe it to those men of God. You say, why are you not going to quit? Because there's a crowd that's waiting on the other side. There's a crowd. My grandpa Carter was a businessman, but every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, he was at the house of God. When the choir was singing, he had his place in the house of God. He was up in the choir singing. He was doing what he could for God. God's not going to call everybody to preach, but thank God for those men like my papa Carter that just stayed true, that backed the man of God, that backed the local church. I said the local church. They didn't back the TV evangelist. They didn't send their tithe down the road to somebody that they had no clue about. They backed the local church. And you know what? They went home to be with the Lord, and they're waiting on us on the other side. And we owe it to them to stay right, to stay true, to stay faithful, to stay local, and to stay loyal to Him. There's a crowd that's awaiting. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe Junior Easter would come back from the dead if we went a different way at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. We owe it to them to stay right, to stay right. But not only is that crowd waiting, there's one sitting at the right hand of God that gave His life for me. And I owe it to Him just to shake it off. Shake it off. Well, you know what? Somebody didn't talk to me tonight. If you want to go down that road, since we built the new church, they some of y'all ain't come out that for you the first time at the end of service and shook my hand. I think I'll go home tonight. I'll pack the house up. I'll move back to East Bend and find me a job. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I don't care which door you go out as long as you come in one. And don't go out it till at least after the offering. Say amen, Finance Committee. I'm trying to reel this thing back in. I don't care which door you go out. So, preacher, they didn't talk to you. Did you talk to them? Did you find them and talk to them? I did, and they turned their nose up and walked away. Well, what should I do, preacher? Watch this. You know what you need to do going home tonight? Here's what you need to do. You need to practice this right here. Everybody hold your hand up. Do not hit the person beside of you. Hold your hand up. We're going to do it up high. Watch this. That's what you need to do. You need to shake it off. You need to shake it off. Who do we think we are anyway? Who we think we are anyway? God don't owe us nothing. Hey, I'm about to pull a chair up here and preach about an hour. I didn't come tonight for you to talk to me. I didn't come to see if you're here. Now, I'm glad you're here, and I can look through the congregation, and you're learning this, Brother Heath and Brother Ramsey. I know you know this. I can look through the congregation in 20 seconds and tell you everybody that's not here. My kids will tell me when I go home if I ask them who's not here tonight. That's just, it's just the gift you're given as a PK. But I didn't come to see you tonight. You care to come start playing softly? I didn't come to see you tonight. I come to see Him. I didn't come for you to talk to me tonight. I don't mean this ugly. Some of y'all don't hardly ever talk to me at church. You don't ever call me. You'll never text me. But I'm okay with that. Brother Robert said, Chief said the phone will blow up tomorrow. Look, I go to bed at 9 o'clock. And Monday mornings, I don't set an alarm clock. It's Saturday for me. You call anytime, text anytime, but it might be on Do Not Disturb. No, watch this. I don't come for that. They, some of y'all sitting here, that's never called me. I've never got a text message from Gloria Jean Martin. You've never texted me. Look, she don't even know what a text message is. I've never got a text message from her. She don't text. You'd rather, I'm the same way, honey. I'd rather talk to. You know, she's never texted me. Does that mean I'm going to quit? Oh, I can't believe she didn't text me. Well, it was posted on Facebook that I didn't feel good, and that's the reason I wasn't at church Sunday, and the preacher didn't even text me and check on me. If you're depending on me getting your information off of Facebook, honey, it ain't gonna happen. I got a whole lot better things to do with my time and my life to sit around and snoop over everybody's business in a fake world called Facebook. That's probably destroyed more homes than alcohol has. I done went and got mean, hadn't I? Here. I'll get mean and dignified. If you wait on me, that was last month. Some of y'all get that about midnight tonight. You be laying in the bed and wake up and bust out laughing and catch what I just said. I'm not going to get my information off Facebook. If you want me to know something's wrong with you, call me or text me. I don't care that you text me. But there's a crowd waiting on us, church. It's time that we put away all of this pity stuff that really don't even matter. Amen. Preacher didn't talk to me Sunday. Did you talk to me? 99.999% of the time, 20 minutes before service starts, I'm sitting in my chair in the foyer. If anybody else gets in it, you're going to move. I've become Mildred in my old age. I got my chair. Every time I go and see her, she asks me, Brother Brian, you got my chair in that new sanctuary I bought? Yep. I make it back, I'm going to sit in it. When she comes back, we're going to find a big old poster that says Mildred and put it on one of the chairs in here, okay? I sit right there. After 99.999% of every service, my wife and I stands in that foyer. I can't go to each and every person. It's time that we move past that. There's a crowd waiting on us that was faithful. There's a crowd here that needs us. And there's a crowd on the way that needs to know we are here to stay because God's been too good to us. Watch this. That's what you need to do. He wants to destroy you. Just shake it off, man. Your kids ever fail? You get them up. What do you do, Brother Stan? You dust their knees off and go, shake it off. Hey. Shake it off. Father.